In a nutshell, we don't have enough cash to do next year's budget. And that'll be in the news probably a lot next winter when people try to add it up and there isn't enough funds there to do it. So the question is, you know, how do you fix that problem? Obviously, you've spent your savings, your most liquid savings, which I don't agree with the magnitude of the cash burn at all in the last few years. Collectively in the state, we've spent down $16 billion in savings and liquidity in the last 4 years, 5 years. It's just insane. So how do you deal with next year's budget? Those that say, you know, don't ever restructure or tamper with or alter the permanent fund, it's virtually impossible to reconcile the problem. You cannot cut your way to a solution, or the only thing you'd have left standing would be K-12 education. That means you're going to have no fishing game. Mm-hmm. You're going to have no state patrol. You're going to have no marine highway. You're going to have no DOT. I mean, it's just ridiculous. You know, no courts. You know, you have a disintegration of your society. So that's not happening. So there's going to be a restructuring of some regard to the permanent fund coming. I personally support and have for years a percent of market value approach to the permanent fund. So the crust of the debate is, you know, what do you do with if you have a 5% or 4.5% or whatever number you have on your percent of market value spinoff, what's going to be split into dividends and what's going to be used to run the state? I think that's where the debate is. For those that refuse to, you know, deal with the cash burn because they don't agree with oil tax structure, well, I don't agree with it. But if you sit around and wait for utopia, you'll probably find your house burnt down while you're dilly-daddling around. We're being forced into the permanent fund because of elected officials' inability to make tough decisions and take action.
My understanding is a lot of the inaction is coming from the oil tax incentive stalling.
I would say that
that's the biggest disagreement right now.
I would say it's a core underlying point of indigestion that makes it problematic to solve the problem from both extremes. The one extreme that says, you know, the incentives are working, leave them alone, which I think is kind of almost a ludicrous argument because they're not. The other argument that says, you know, we got to get our fair share, whatever that is, they define it something more than what we're getting today. And by God, I'm not going to support any changes until we do. All the time, the house is burning down. You put the fire out, then we can have these arguments. My concern is the fire is, well underway.
So would you agree that the state doesn't have the money to give the oil companies tax incentives at this point?
I think, you know, when you look at the credits or incentives, nowhere else on the planet does a sovereign do what the state does. Nowhere. They can't point to any petroleum basin, hydrocarbon basin on the planet. A good chunk of those are going directly into the Cook Inlet for subsidizing the energy needs of Anchorage and Matsu in that area, $300 to $400 million a year. The rest of them are going into Prudhoe and Kuparuk, you know, the oil fields. You're in the hundreds of millions. When you hear companies talk about investing $4 billion, that's the gross dollars. They never say how much the state put in and how much they put in. And you'll see that the state has put in on a lot of big projects 40 to 60%, or state and federal government.
And right now, sounds like the South Central area does not want to change it. Because the money's going to them, some of it. Their energy is getting subsidized.
They're on natural gas, and most of these subsidies go into natural gas. So it lowers the natural gas cost to the home. If you get these incentives out of the way and let the markets work, which I advocate, it'll get into equilibrium and they'll pay an appropriate rate, which I think they're already doing. The system would run without the subsidies.
So South Central is where most Alaskans live. Anchorage is like half the state's population almost.
Yeah. You know, when they say that we have cheap electricity in Southeast and most communities are from 11 to 13, the bigger ones, natural gas would be a third of that.
And people won't want to change that. What about the makeup of the legislature and, you know, in terms of the numbers, there's, you know, an election coming up? And, I mean, is there any hope that the dynamics will change in the Senate or in the House enough to the point where there will be change in the oil tax incentive program?
Well, there's always change every 2 years. 100% of the House runs and 50% of the Senate. One of the challenges we'll face next year is to get the new members kind of up to speed on some of the complexities, because these are complex and related problems. So it's going to take, I would think, a couple of years for, you know, the legislature to take some fairly affirmative action. I think next winter there'll be a step forward and another step the following year, would be my guess.